Welcome to episode 7 of Senpai's Craft Beer Cast. My name is Rich, and I am sorry that I haven't posted anything in a while. I've actually been doing a lot of stuff around the house. I've built a fence, and there's a lot of stuff that has to be done to this house. But we're getting it done, and I actually feel like I'm in a spot where I can actually start recording and putting the time into the podcast, and I really couldn't do that before. So I'm back off a hiatus, and I actually recorded a hiatus episode, but when I was editing it, it was just horrible. So I was like, yeah, fuck that, I'm not posting it. But this is my apology. Terribly sorry I did that, or I wasn't able to really post anything for a little while there. This episode is going to be the first episode in a series that I'm doing all about the four main ingredients of beer. And I've actually broken this up. This is going to be a two-part episode because, holy crap, there are so many malts and grains and all that's used in the brewing of beer that I really just... One episode would have probably been about an hour long, and I try to keep these between, like, about 20 minutes seems to be the sweet spot. But we'll just go ahead and get to it. So to start this episode off, I actually have a little bit of interesting beer news, something that you may have seen if you do follow craft beer groups and whatnot on Facebook, or really anywhere else. I'm not going to go super deep into it, but the clothing company Patagonia is suing AB InBev, basically for creating a copycat beer brand called Patagonia. I looked into this a bit, and the labeling for AB InBev's Patagonia beer brand is strikingly similar to Patagonia, the clothing company's logo. It has, like, the mountains, and of course it says, fucking Patagonia. But it doesn't actually stop just at the logo and the labeling and all that. The clothing company has always been fairly heavily involved in natural conservation, and AB InBev's beer brand states that for every case of the beer sold, it will plant a tree, which is great, but if AB InBev is using Patagonia's likeness for profit, it's in the very least, I would say, quite unethical. Given AB InBev's past business dealings and tendency to attempt to push craft beers out of business or craft breweries out of business, it seems a little sketchy. Also, a Patagonia clothing representative also has stated that an AB InBev representative has reached out to them in the past asking about a special grain that Patagonia clothing uses in their own beer line called Longroot. So that kind of just adds to a bit of the sketchiness. Of course, AB InBev is denying everything, and I'm not a big fan of it. I'll put the article in the podcast description, so you guys can read it if you want to know a little bit more about what's going on. I don't understand why big beer companies can't just come up with their own shit. I mean, well, I guess they do, and it's never really that great. I mean, you have Bud Light and Coors Light and Miller Light. They all taste like the same kind of light lagers, but anyway, I'll leave the article in the description if you want to read a little bit more about that. I just thought it was kind of an interesting bit of information you may want to know about, but I kind of want to get into this main topic because it's going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be super long, but there's a lot of information to kind of take in here. First off, I'm going to define a couple words for you if you do not know much about malt and malting and a few of the terms that you'll hear a little bit in reference to that. A couple of these may actually have been mentioned in a previous episode, my beer terminology episode. But some of them might not have been. I mean, there's a couple. There's not a whole lot. But let's just kind of go ahead and define these. One, malt. This whole episode and the next episode will be about malt. And you should probably know what exactly malt is, because it doesn't only refer to beer. Malt is a germinated cereal grain that has been dried in a process known as malting. The grains are made to germinate by soaking them in water and are then halted from germinating further by drying with hot air. Malted grains develop the enzymes required for modifying the grain starches into various types of sugars, including monosaccharide glucose, disaccharide maltose, trisaccharide maltotriose, and higher sugars called maltodextrins. It also helps other enzymes, such as proteases, which break down the proteins in the grain into forms that can be used by yeast. And as you might know, that process is known as fermentation, when yeast takes these sugars and breaks them down, turns them into alcohol. Depending on when the malting process is stopped, one gets a preferred starch to enzyme ratio and partly converted starch into fermentable sugars. Malt also contains small amounts of other sugars, such as sucrose and fructose, which are not products of starch modification, but were already in the grain. Further conversion to fermentable sugars is achieved during the mashing process. Malted grain is used to make beer, whiskey, malted milkshakes, malt vinegar, confections such as maltsters and whoppers, so kind of like malted milk balls, flavored drinks such as Horlicks, Ovaltine, and Milo, and some baked goods such as malt loaf bagels and rich tea biscuits. We will, of course, be talking about the malt used in the process of making beer. I do want to say that definition came from Wikipedia. I looked for the definition on other like beer sources, and the one on Wikipedia was actually the most kind of most in-depth definition, so I just went with that one. Next definition is the definition of a maltster. And a maltster is a very simple definition. It's a maker of malt. Lavabond, or degrees Lavabond, abbreviated with an L, is a scale for measuring color. It was introduced by Joseph Lavabond in the 1860s, according to brewwiki.com. Basically, the higher the degrees Lavabond, the darker the color of the beer. And last but not least, grain bill. That's basically an ingredient list that contains all of the grains and the amount of each grain to be used in the brewing of the beer. Alright, so this should be fun and informative. We're going to go ahead and start it off with the base malts. So your first base malt is going to be American Two Row, which is a pale base malt, used as a base in most American craft beers, popular for its excellent extract yield, and that essentially means how much fermentable sugars the malt produces measured in a percentage. Typically malts yield between 50 and 80% its weight in soluble mash. It comes in at around 2 degrees Lavabond. It can be used up to 100% of the grain bill. And a quick aside, I tried to find all the recommended percentages for grain bills for each malt, but I couldn't find them all, so I put the ones I could find in their respective places. Next up, we have American Six Row. It's also highly used in American craft beer, has a good extract yield. It comes in at about 2.1 to 2.5 degrees Lavabond. So, and the differences between 2 and 6 row are the Lavabond numbers and the morphology of the grains themselves. So I found them to be pretty interchangeable when it comes to homebrewing, flavor-wise. But it's all in the structure of the grain before it is actually malted, so... next up, we have the English Pale Ale malt. It's a little bit darker than 2 or 6 row. It gives the beer a nuttier flavor, and it can be used in pale ales for a fuller flavor as well. It's also used in British ales, amber ales, porters, and basically anything. I mean, any ale you can use an English Pale Ale malt in. It can be used up to 100% of the grain bill, and it comes in at about 3.5 degrees Lavabond. Next up, we have Pilsner. Now, Pilsner is a light base malt. It has more of a maltier flavor as opposed to the biscuity flavor that 2 or 6 row gives. Once again, it can be used up to 100% of the grain bill. It's used primarily in Pilsners and Belgian beers and is around 1.5 degrees Lavabond, so it is a very light malt. Vienna, that's a slightly darker base malt. It has an increased malty flavor to it. 3.5 to 4 degrees Lavabond, and can be used as a base or a specialty malt. So you don't have to use it as a base malt. We're actually going to be getting into specialty malts here in, I think, like one more. After this next one, we're actually going to be getting into specialty malts and what they do. And basically, we'll get into it in a sec. Like I said, 3.5 to 4 degrees Lavabond, it can be used as a base or specialty malt. I couldn't find the what percentage you would use of the grain bill. I would think I've seen like Vienna lagers before, so if they're using Vienna as the primary malt in that lager, they very well could be using it up to 100%. Munich malt is a darker base malt that imparts a sweet, toasted flavor, and it can also give the beer a slight biscuity flavor. It's used in malty beers like Oktoberfest and comes in around 7 degrees Lovibond. Another one, I'm pretty sure most base malts can be used up to 100% of the grain bill. So when you get into your specialty malts, you don't usually want to go 100% with those when you're coming up with your recipe for beer. Munich, I didn't read anything about Munich, but I have seen it used as a specialty malt before, so there you go. Now we're getting into specialty malts. And basically, specialty malts are used to impart different flavors, add different colors. The one that we're about to talk about is used for head retention, so let's just jump right into them. Let's see, dextrin malt. And dextrin malt is used for head retention, and it imparts little to no flavor or color, and is also known as carapils or carafoam, depending on the maltster. Let's see, crystal malts. Now, crystal malts, there's a whole lot of different crystal malts, but we'll talk about it in a second. These are some of the most commonly used malts because of the range of their use. They are sweet malts used to add flavor and color to pretty much all beer styles. There are a lot of different crystal malts, each represented by degrees Lovibond. You'll also see them called caramel malts due to the caramel flavor that they add to beers. They come in 10, 20, 40, 60, 90, and 120 degrees Lovibond. And I swear to God, I've seen them at like 80 degrees, and I don't think it has to be the ones that I just listed off. I have seen them in different degrees Lovibond. I could be wrong, and I might just be going insane, but who knows. Basically, the higher the Lovibond number, the darker the color. So a 10 degree Lovibond crystal malt will give a beer a lighter color, and it gives the beer kind of like a more candy-like caramel flavor, but as the degrees Lovibond goes up, you start getting more robust caramel flavors, and even higher on the Lovibond scale, say 90 or 120, you can start getting like burnt sugar or raisin, prune-type flavors in your beers. So next up, we're going to have Dark Munich, and Dark Munich adds a darker color and stronger sweet malt flavors to beer, generally 8 to 10 degrees Lovibond, and you'll see this malt used in a lot of darker lagers. Then you have Light Karastan malt, which imparts a toffee flavor to beer, about 13 to 17 degrees Lovibond, and can be used in almost any style of beer that you would desire a toffee flavor in, such as brown ales. Actually, they're not a craft brew, but Leinenkugel's, I don't know how to say their name, but they had a toffee nut brown ale that was out of this freaking world. I don't remember what it was called, but I haven't found it again, but it was really, really good, and I'm pretty sure it used Light Karastan malt to get some of that toffee flavor in there. And then you have Caravienne. It's either Carvienne or Caravienna, but it's another member of the crystalline caramel malts. It imparts a reddish hue to beers. It comes in at about 15 to 23 degrees Lovibond and provides a sweet, malty, fuller flavor to beer. It's used a lot in Belgian Abbey ales, amber ales, and the like. It can also be used in IPAs for a deeper color and to add complexity to flavor. So it's pretty good. You wouldn't really want to use it too much in lighter beers, but when you're wanting to get a little bit more flavor out of a beer, especially like amber ales, red ales, even porters and stouts I read when I was reading about this, you can use Caravienne to get some more flavor and play with the color a little bit. Then you have brown malt. Now this is a darker malt, brings in at about 60 to 70 degrees Lovibond. It is used for darker color and roasted and bitter flavoring. It does well in mild stouts and porters. I'm sure that there's more that you could use a brown malt in. I would say you'd probably be able to use it in a brown ale if you're trying to get that brown ale a little bit heavier. Use a little bit of brown malt. And the last one, actually, we're already at the last one for today. It should have been about 13 malts, but is biscuit malt. And it adds a warm brown color to beer and kind of like a toasty bread type flavoring or a biscuit flavor. This one I did find how much you can use in a grain bill. It's recommended up to 15%, so you don't want to use a whole lot of it. And it rings in at about 23 to 25 degrees lava bomb. All right, well, that's it for this portion of the malt series. I'm not going to be doing any more. Or my next episode will have the rest of the malts and some adjuncts and all that good stuff. And I'm actually doing something a little bit different with the beer review today. I'm also going to be recording video of the beer review. That way, if you're interested, I will go ahead and put the videos up on YouTube, and I'll include a link in the podcast description so you can see the color of the beer and all that good stuff. So let's just jump right into that, because today... Give me one sec here. So today I'm actually going to be talking about a beer called Gold Cliff IPA from Kona Brewing. It is an IPA brewed with tropical pineapple, and we'll kind of get into the label a little bit here. Has a guy like jumping off a cliff or something. I hope he's all right. The top of the label says, on Lanai, not far from the island's first pineapple fields, Kaunalu Cove welcomes adventurous snorkelers and daring cliff divers alike. So I guess this guy's a cliff diver. I hope he doesn't like land belly first. That shit would hurt like a son of a bitch. Share the thrill with our Gold Cliff IPA. Bold yet easygoing, brewed with real, refreshing pineapple. Dive in. Gold Cliff IPA right across the top there says it's brewed with real pineapple. 7.2% alcohol by volume. Ale brewed with pineapple and natural flavor added. Mahalo for drinking responsibly. Kona Brewing Company, Kona, Hawaii. Portland, Oregon. Portsmouth, New Hampshire? NH is New Hampshire, yeah. 12 fluid ounces. Average analysis per 12 fluid ounces, 211 calories. 15.6 grams carbs, 2.12 grams protein, 0 grams fat. That's the first time I've actually seen a fucking nutrition label on a goddamn beer. Kind of weird. And then government warnings, all that good stuff. KonaBrewingCo.com and UPCs. And this is blue, so it's kind of cute. Well, let's crack her open and we'll fucking talk about the flavor, all that shit. So, pouring the beer. Alright. So, it pours a very clear gold. I'd say probably like a straw kind of gold color. About a two-finger white head on her. Dissipates fairly quickly. Let's get a nose on it. Right off the bat, you get pineapple. It's almost like a candy. Like, it's a very sweet pineapple. Followed by piney and citrusy hops. I can't really put my finger on which hops that they are, but maybe after I do the freaking hops episode, I'll fucking know. Very slight, maybe biscuity, malty backbone to it. For being just a regular IPA at 7.2% alcohol by volume, there's really no alcohol burn at all. Nice. Smells good. Smells very pineapply, so let's go ahead and get a little bit in. Mouthfeel is on the lighter side of medium. The first flavor that you get, you're getting a lot of the citrusy, piney hops. The pineapple is very, very, very subtle. It's not like it was in the nose. It's there, but it's very slight. It's a little bit toasty. Really no alcohol to speak of. Maybe a little bit of alcohol burn to it, but not a lot. I mean, I got it for $6 for a six-pack. It was on sale. That's why I picked this one up. I mean, I'm not super impressed by it. For $6, I would probably buy it again. But I saw it, and I saw it was brewed with pineapple. I really like the flavor of pineapple, so I really wanted to see more of that pineapple flavor. So that's kind of disappointing. It's a little bit disheartening to get that big pineapple in the nose and then almost none in the flavor. I will say it does kind of show up a little bit after... At the end of the sip, after it's gone, right at the back of the tongue, you get a little bit more of that pineapple. But it kind of just comes off almost as a higher ABV basic IPA. I mean, if you can find it for cheap, like I did, go ahead and pick it up. I could see it being a good beer to drink. You know, over the weekend, you're doing yard work or whatever during the day. It's fairly, it got that little bit of more of a refreshing quality to it, but it's too much like a basic IPA. Like, I wouldn't pay $10 for it. I'd pay $6, definitely, but I haven't had too much from Kona Brewing, so I'll give a couple more of their beers a shot. I'll see if I can actually swing back by the ABC store and grab one or two different ones and see how they go. Alright, so that's that. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed, share my podcast amongst your beer-loving friends and family. And as always, you can subscribe and listen on various podcast sources like iTunes. I think I'm on iHeartRadio now, Spotify, Google Podcasts, pretty much almost anywhere. I think I just got onto Player FM, but I'm not 100% sure, so don't quote me on that. You can also interact with me a bit more on Instagram at Senpai's_CraftBeerCast and Facebook, Senpai's Craft Beer Cast. Next episode, we will be finishing up our look into malts. So, cheers!